So while he's at this vestibule, another member of the high priest's servants, they come to him, and they, instead of speaking directly to Peter, they just start to tell everyone around him. Oh yeah, that's the guy that was with Jesus. You see that? He's one of them. His attempt to fly under the radar here is not going well. His panic and fear are probably elevated now, and more people are paying attention to him. She says, he's definitely one of them. And of course, he denies it again. He doesn't move away from where he is at this moment, perhaps because he can make a quick getaway in case of emergency. And finally, a group of bystanders, people perhaps who have heard about Peter while warming themselves by the fire, they walk up to him because they've heard him speak. They're convinced he was with Jesus for a different reason, his accent. You have to be one of them because you're a Galilean. Why would a Galilean be in the courtyard of the high priest? They weren't exactly what you would call peers. They weren't really the type of people that spent time with each other. That being the case, his accent is a dead giveaway to associate him with Jesus. And in this confrontation, Peter gets angry. He yells, he swears that a curse should be on him if he's lying. He doesn't know this person. And as soon as he says this, the rooster crows. This time the sound registers in his mind, and it recalls for him the last real conversation that he had with Jesus. That sound had to haunt him in that moment, just feeling so loud to the point it drowned out all of the other sounds happening around him. The Gospel of Luke actually documents that Peter saw Jesus looking down at him through a window in the high priest's house in this moment. Peter remembers the words of Jesus from his former conversation. He realizes what he has done. He breaks down. He weeps continuously because of the horrible thing he has done to a person who he held dear and learned from and loved. When a friendship falls apart, it's a devastating occurrence. No one wins in the situation. The person who causes it deals with this massive guilt and shame over hurting someone so deeply. And the person who received it, they deal with the pain and anxiety of why they deserved that or what they could have done to prevent it. And when we think about the ugliness of relational fallout, I think there are really three things that we learn from Peter's poor example of friendship with Jesus. And this, I think, we learn by looking at the opposite of what Peter does. So we learn these three things from him. That good friends listen well. Good friends are honest. And good friends are loyal. Number one, good friends listen well. Peter begins our text for today. He doesn't have any sort of listening ear to what Jesus is trying to say. It's actually a big thing that Jesus is trying to convey to the group. And Peter isn't even entertaining the idea, and truthfully, none of the disciples are. We like to rag on the disciples a little bit when we talk about how thick-headed they were and listening to Jesus and paying attention to what he was doing the whole time. We think, how could you not know it was Jesus? How could you not know what he was doing? Why didn't you listen? But we do the same thing every day. We receive gentle nudges from the Holy Spirit to slaps in the face with the truth of what we've been doing or what we need to do. Like Peter and the rest of the disciples, we would do well to listen well in our friendships and relationships with God and others. We must put into practice what James says in his letter. You must be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Peter failed in all three of these in his first interaction with Jesus. Should have hearkened back to his readings in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 20, it tells us that those who listen to instruction will prosper, and those who trust in the Lord will be joyful. Even back before that, Proverbs 10:17, it tells us that people who accept discipline are on the pathway to life, but those who ignore correction will go astray. Peter didn't learn from either of these. But we get to see from their story that he learns from his mistake. We learn from the ugliness of Peter's story by seeing how not to act with friends and relationships. Good friends listen well. Secondly, good friends are honest. Second thing we see about Peter is that he denies his entire identity from the last 3 years. Jesus was his teacher, his closest friend. He poured into him extensively. Peter worked hard to learn and grow with Jesus, and once everything hit the fan, so to speak, he denied even knowing this person that they were talking about. I want you to take a moment and think about your closest relationship. If they got into hot water for something they didn't do, would you immediately tell everyone that you didn't even know who they were? The thought of that kind of sounds crazy to me when I really sit with it. So take a step back into Proverbs 10 again with me. It tells us that people with integrity walk safely, but those who follow crooked paths will be exposed. Even later in Proverbs chapter 24, it tells us that an honest answer is like a kiss of friendship. Peter didn't follow through with these teachings, and our learning from the ugliness of his experience leads us to be honest in our friendships and relationships. In doing this, we live out the purity of heart that Jesus talks about in the Beatitudes and what Paul writes to Timothy in his second letter. He says, work hard so that you present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. Good friends listen well, and good friends are honest. And finally, good friends are loyal. The thing that you want from a friend is loyalty that doesn't die. I think of a few examples. The first is the loyalty of Samwise Gamgee to Frodo Baggins in The Lord of the Rings. At the very end of the cinematic masterpiece, The Return of the King, in referring to the one ring that Frodo is burdened by, Sam says, I can't carry it for you, but I can carry you. And he picks him up, he throws him over his shoulder, and he walks up to this volcano, and my wife tearfully yells this line every time when we watch this movie because it's such this heartfelt sentiment of loyalty in the face of these insurmountable odds. They had gone through so much. And at the end of things, when it was the hardest to keep going, Sam stuck with Frodo. I also think of the example of Ruth and Naomi in what seems to be the hardest time of both of their lives. They're poised to return to this homeland of Naomi's people, and Ruth utters these heartfelt words to Naomi in response to her dismissal. She says, don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Where you go, I'll go. Where you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I'll be buried. May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us. They're not blood related. There's no logical reason for them to stick together, but Ruth made this pact. It was till death do they part, right? When we think about Peter and the way he acted towards Jesus, it was faithful and loyal until things got difficult, until it was clear that imprisonment and potentially death was something that would be a result of an association with Jesus. He was loyal. He would have done well, and so should we, to listen to the words of Proverbs 17:17. A friend is always loyal, and a brother is born to help in time of need. We need to ask the question that we should be asking whenever we read something in the scriptures or hear a teaching. Why don't we say this one all together? So what? So what? Why does this matter for right here, right now? Some texts can be kind of hard to apply because they seem to be centered in their own time, but I think I might have an idea of how we can approach this. This text matters because good community matters. We all need community, whether it's a church, a friend group, your neighbors, or something else entirely. Good community matters, and we need people who will stick with us when things get ugly in our own lives and when ugly things happen between us and those that we're in relationship with. That's why we care so much about our mission here and sharing about the 1-2-3 on Sundays. You know, we seek to connect with two Christians a week because good community matters. We want to connect with three non-believing sojourners a month because good community matters. We want to connect with these people because when we're connected to a good spiritual community, which doesn't by any means connotate a perfect church, if you ever find one, let me know so I can join. We talk about this frequently in staff meetings, actually, more speaking about our own abilities as church staff and how we can improve. We've never had a perfect Sunday. You know, sometimes one piece of the service goes well, but another piece goes poorly, or it just needs a bit of an adjustment. Yet I think through this process and how it can really open up into how we view the church. We aren't perfect. That's true. No matter what church you find yourself in, you'll find some good and you'll find some bad, and there's a good chance that you'll find some ugly. But we're all united under Jesus. who, because of those things and despite those things, continues to lovingly reach out to us in each moment. And that's what it all comes down to. We are all united in good, godly community. And when we are, we can work through the bad and the ugly much easier. We have that easier access to the way God thinks and acts and what he desires for us to be. And it's because of all that bad and ugly that we experience as humans that Jesus came and lived among us, bringing us closer to himself through the forgiveness of our sin and through his death on the cross. It is precisely because of the good, the bad, and the ugly that God gifted us with the divine presence of the Holy Spirit to continue to mold and shape us into our created nature as those made in God's image. It is precisely why he calls us to love one another as he has loved us, and to do the simple, strong thing of loving God and loving others. No matter the time, place, or event, no matter the good, the bad, or the ugly. Pray with me. Holy God, this is a really hard thing to read, a really tough story to think about. It's ugly, and it makes you hurt. And we thank you for the things that we can learn from looking at how Peter approached this and how negative that was, and how we can learn to listen well and to be honest and loyal even when things are really hard. We thank you for what you've done for us, God, in giving us salvation through your Son and the dwelling of the Holy Spirit, that we can learn and understand more who you are and what that means for us. We love you, God, and we ask that these things would seep deep down into the relationships that we have. Amen.
You'd please stand. We'll close.